You know, it's a true blessing when we pray to God for the good health of our members and he answers those prayers positively, so that Jamie's here this morning, Virgie's here this morning, Caddy's here this morning, all whom we've been praying for. We're thankful to God for their better health. I want to thank you, and Becky and I both want to thank you for all the sweet cards that you gave to us last Sunday. Very meaningful to us, very encouraging to us, and we're just glad to be a part of this congregation. Very loving, caring congregation, and we're just thankful for each and every one of you. It's an old story, but it is one that we never tire of hearing. It's not only a children's story, but it's especially for those of us who are adults as well. Saul, as we know, was the first king of Israel. He reigned for 40 years. As did David, as did Solomon, in what is commonly called the United Kingdom. But because Saul was an evil king, or became an evil king, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, we're told, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. And Samuel, the prophet, was sent to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. That's hard to say. He was sent to the house to appoint one of his eight sons as the replacement of Saul as king. And you know the story, how that Jesse's seven oldest sons paraded before Samuel, but none of them were selected. And finally, his youngest son, David, who was keeping the sheep out in the fields, was brought before Samuel. And it was David who was chosen to be the second king of Israel, chosen by God. In 1 Samuel 17, we read about a great and memorable battle. There was a standoff between the Philistine army and the Israelite army, some 12 miles west of Bethlehem. The two armies were on opposite sides in the valley of Elah. The Philistines were on the western slope. The Israelites occupied the eastern slope. And in the valley, a Philistine giant challenged the Israelites for 40 days, twice daily. Each man would represent their individual nations. And whomever won the fight, their nation would win the battle. Goliath was the one who taunted the Israelites. He was a descendant of Anak or Anakim, either description there, who was a giant race of people. And Scripture tells us that he was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and he also wore a armor that was made out of bronze that weighed 125 pounds. Slung on his back was a bronze javelin with an iron point weighing 15 pounds. And Goliath also had a shield bearer who carried an extremely large shield that protected Goliath's entire body, obviously except for his forehead. Undoubtedly, Goliath thought that he was invincible. And undoubtedly, the Israelites thought that as well. Three of Jesse's oldest sons were in Saul's army. He regularly sent David, his youngest son, to carry food to his brothers and to bring back a message to him about his son's welfare because he loved his sons. So at the end of those 40 days, David arrived at the Israelite camp just in time to hear Goliath challenge the Israelite army. And all the men of Saul's army were afraid of him. And Saul even offered incentives to any soldier who would battle Goliath and kill him. The first incentive was Saul would give him great riches. And then the second was that he would give his daughter to him in marriage. And thirdly, he would make his father's house free, meaning he had to pay no taxes. Young David, a teenager, was very upset that the uncircumcised Philistine defied the army of the living God. Eliab, David's oldest brother, was very angry with the insolence of David as he was asking why has no one accepted his challenge. And he tried to intimidate David. And David just turned to the other soldiers and vented his anger with them. So eventually David offered to battle against Goliath. And the word got back to Saul. And Saul confronted David by saying that he was just a kid. 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. So David said, well, I've struck down lions and bears when they tried to attack my father's sheep. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. You would have thought that Saul, being a one who liked to go into battle, might have gone himself, and yet he didn't. He let David, the young teenager, go. So Saul did do something, though. He tried to put his own armor on David, and of course it didn't fit. David rejected it. And David was ready to face the giant with only a shepherd's staff in his hand and five smooth stones from the brook and his sling. With his armor bearer ahead of him, Goliath moved closer to his opponent. And he was highly insulted when he saw a youth who did not even carry any battle armor at all. So Goliath attempted to intimidate David. He cursed David by the Philistine gods. He said that David would be left for the birds and the wild animals to devour. But David said that the Lord would deliver Goliath into his hands. Again in 1 Samuel 17, verse 47, that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Well, as the Philistine giant moved closer to David, David ran. Not away from him, but he ran toward him. David reached into his bag and he took out just one stone and slung it to the giant's forehead. The seemingly invincible Goliath fell on his face to the ground. David ran to the Philistine and took his sword and cut off his head. Then the Israelite army chased the Philistine army back to Gath, which was their homeland, plundered their camp, and certainly defeated them in totality. I want us to back up a little bit. I want us to think about when Samuel anointed Saul. Israel had rejected God as their king. God had Samuel anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. And his role was to save God's people from the evil Philistines, 1 Samuel 9, verses 15 and 16. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. Remember, we talked about earlier that the Spirit of God departed from Saul in 16 and verse 14. But at the beginning, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul and remained with him until he turned away from the Lord. I couldn't help but think as I was preparing this lesson that as a Christian, you and I received the gift of the Holy Spirit when we were baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. And if you remain faithful to the Lord, God's Spirit will remain with you until you die. But if you do turn away from God, the Holy Spirit will not remain in a temple of evil. You cannot have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Satan dwelling within the same person. Paul reminded the Corinthians that the unrighteous Christians would not inherit the kingdom of God. And he warns them to abstain from godly and immoral behavior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, he wrote, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." We received the Spirit when we became Christians, and the Spirit of God is to dwell within us every day that we live. But he called on them also to glorify God in their fleshly bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." I think the main thing that we can learn from this lesson today is this: because God is on your side, don't be intimidated by anyone or anything. I'm going to tell you another old story. However, it's just 57 years old. It occurred in the fall of 1962, my freshman year at Muleshoe High School. We had just moved there. It was the summer. I was going out for the football team, fighting for a role on the team. But the story is not about me. There was a young man on our team who was probably 5'9" and weighed 150 pounds wet. He was small, especially he wanted to play on the line, on the defensive line. Even though he hardly got to play in any games, this guy was feisty. He determined every day that he was going to do his best in practice. And it was amazing to me to see this, I believe he was a junior at the time, junior in high school, very small, defensive end, and he would go up against anybody. It didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter how big they were. He would just go up against anybody. And he would usually get beaten, but he didn't care. He was ready for the next fight. During the season, the Mules hosted the Dumas Demons. At that time, they were a powerhouse in the Panhandle. Usually one state every year. And we were getting stomped. I think it was 63-0. When the game was almost over, our coach put this young man in on defense. Dumas had a tight end who later went to Texas A&M, where he was an outstanding football player. And yes, you guessed correctly. Our 150-pound midget went up against Dumas's 6'4", 250-pound giant. And when Dumas broke their huddle the first time and their giant saw his opposing midget, he said to him, "Son, does your mama know you're out here?" Well, that made our defensive end very mad, but it didn't help. He was easily defeated by their demon, but he never stopped trying. He never stopped doing his very best, even when he was defeated. That's what we're called to do. There will be times we will be defeated. We just have to get up and go again and call upon the help of our Lord Jesus Christ and our loving Father who's in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Don't borrow it from yesterday. Live for today. And live with the power of God within you. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Because God is on your side, there is nothing you should fear. Give God the glory in all good things that he gives to you. David gave God the glory for his triumph over wild animals, and he also gave God the glory for his triumph over the giant Goliath. You face some giants in your life, I'm certain, and you'll probably face some more. You can face those with the help of God. Jesus said again in Matthew 5 and verse 16, "Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, "Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You know, there's a song in our hymnal. It's entitled, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us shall stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory and honor, power and strength to the Lord. The power of darkness comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend. Your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. Do you let God fight with you in your battles? Do you let God have all the power and all the glory in those battles that you win? Do you turn to God even more in those times when you feel like you have lost the battle, for the courage to face another day and face another battle? If there's anyone here this morning who needs to put their trust and their confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, if there's anyone who needs to become a Christian, we hope that you will answer God's invitation as we stand and sing.